Our text verse is that second verse we read tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, where the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Of course, a steward was a servant, a person who, when the master of a house or a business went away, was entrusted with the care of that household or the care of that business until his master returned. Probably the most familiar story of stewards that we have in the Bible is the story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25, where he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his living." In other words, he delivered his possessions. And most of us know the story that's told there. To the first servant, he gave 5 talents, and to the second servant, he gave 2, and to the third servant, he gave 1. And the Bible says that he passed those talents out according to their abilities. And so he had assessed each of his servants and knew what they were capable of and entrusted them with not just his surplus, but with his living. I mean, I think he entrusted his entire fortune, so to speak, to these 3 servants. And he was gone for a while, and when he came back, he called the servants in. He says, "I need you to give an accounting for me as to what kind of servant, what kind of steward you were, how you took care of the things that I left in your charge." And the first steward came in, the first servant came in and said, "Well, master, you gave me 5 talents. I put those talents to work, and I'm happy to report and happy to give you back today 10 talents. I doubled your money." And the master looked at that servant and said, "Well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the second servant came in and said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. I put those 2 talents to work, and I'm happy to tell you today and happy to give back to you today 4 talents. I also doubled what you left in my care." And the master said, "Well done, well done." Then the third servant came. He had only been entrusted with 1 talent. And he came in not with a pleasing result, but with an excuse. He said, "Master, I knew that you were a hard man. I know that you sow where you don't reap. In other words, you make profits even when you don't try. And I was afraid that if I tried anything, I would lose your money. And so when you left, I took your talent and I dug a hole. I buried it in the earth. I dug it up today, and I'm giving exactly back to you what you gave me." The master did not say, "Well done." He said, "Thou wicked servant. At the least you could have done is put my talent to usury." In other words, put it in a bank so that it would draw some interest. And that servant was not rewarded at all like the first 2 servants were. I want to tell you tonight, the premise for my message is that as Christians, we are stewards. Our master, Jesus Christ, is in a far country. He's in heaven tonight. We know what he's doing. He's preparing a place for each one that name his name, for each one that has received him as Christ. He told us that, "Hey, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." One of these days he's going to come back and receive us so that where he is, we can be also. But he said, but while he's gone, he left some of his living, some of his valuable possessions in our care, under our charge. I'm going to mention 3 tonight and talk about them just a little bit. That's not my message. That's sort of my introduction. Some of you didn't make it to church this morning, so I have to give you a double dose tonight. Others, you can just rejoice because you're getting a double dose. I won't mention any names. I won't look at anybody. You know who you are. But anyhow, not my message, but it's part of my introduction. Jesus has left us some valuable possessions. I could mention our children. That's not going to be one I'm going to talk about, but they are valuable possessions. They don't belong to us. They belong to God. And we will give an account one day to our master how we invested ourselves in the lives of our children. The possessions that he's given us is another one that I can mention. I'm not going to mention it other than passing. Everything that we have, comes from a Father above. And every one of those possessions, we will give an account to God how we used it. The time that he's given us. I mean, just the days and the weeks and the months. That's a wonderful gift from God. Our life is a vapor, the Bible talks about. And every day is a gift from God, a valuable 24 hours that comes from Him. One of these days we're going to stand before our Master and we're going to give an account of how we've used the time that He's entrusted us with. But there are some things I do want to mention and talk about a little bit. One of the things that He's left us in our care is His Word, the Bible. Another thing I want to talk about for just a little bit is His church. And another thing I want to talk about a little bit is His gospel. Now, as we think about His Word, as we think about His church, as we think about His gospel, the Bible doesn't say that He requires intelligence as we care for these things. I'm so glad He didn't say intelligence. I'm so glad He didn't say it is required that you be intelligent and smart and educated as you work with these things I've left you. I'm so glad that He didn't say that. I'm so glad He didn't say that you have to have a wonderful personality as you use the Word of God, as you use the church, as you use the gospel. And I'm so glad that He didn't say, I command you that you must be successful as you use these things. That you must be successful as you use this book. That you must be successful as you operate inside my church. That you must be successful with the gospel. He doesn't say intelligence. He doesn't say a personality. He doesn't say success. But what He does say is, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. I may not know a lot of stuff, but I can be faithful. I may not have much personality, but I can be faithful. I may not succeed as the world measures success or even as God measures success. But He says, I'm not requiring that. By the way, the success is not up to us. The success is up to God. All I'm required to do is to work at it, to be faithful. The results are God's responsibility. And so He did not command me, you need to be successful. He said, you need to be faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to this book. This book is different than any other book that exists on the face of the earth. It is the Word of God. I believe when I hold my Bible in my hands, I hold the very Word of the God that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. The God who created everything. The God who created it from nothing. The God who holds it all together. I hold in my hand the very words of that God. It is a letter, a love letter from somebody that loves us more than we can barely understand how much He loves us. We ought to read it more than we do any other piece of literature that exists on the face of the earth. We ought to read it more than any book in a library. We ought to read it more than any newspaper or magazine. We ought to read it more than any other book that we have. And not only ought we ought to read it, we ought to study it. Ruth asked me a question tonight. You know, I like people to ask me questions. She said, "Preacher, I want to ask you a question about the Sunday school lesson." I said, "Okay, wonderful." She said, "What do you think God would have done?" And I never had thought about this before. Brother Harry, think about this. What would God have done if when Eve said, "Adam, I want you to eat this fruit," Adam said, "No way. Not going to do it. It's wrong. Can't do it." What would He have done? I said, "I never have thought about that." Of course, Adam ate it willingly. He ate it, knew what he was doing. But I like it when people think about things like that, because it tells me that they're listening and they're thinking about it. And when we read this book, we ought to think about it. We ought to study it with the intent of understanding what God is trying to say. You see, God has a purpose. Every time we read this book, He has a purpose. He has something that He intends for us to get. You may read the same verse every day of the week. I could believe that God can have a different purpose on Monday for that verse, a different purpose on Tuesday, a different purpose on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This book is rich enough. You could read John 3:16 every day of the month and get something out of it, all 30 or 31 days of the month from just one little verse. It's different than any other book, different from any other book. We ought to memorize it. And again, I don't want anybody to raise your hand tonight. I'll ask myself the question, and I won't tell you my answer either. When's the last time you memorized a verse from the Bible? No, I'm not talking about the one you memorized when you were a junior. I'm not talking about the last one you memorized in Awana. When's the last time you memorized a verse? Was it yesterday? Was it last week? Was it last month? Was it last year? We need to hide this word in our heart, that we might not sin against God. It's a lamp. It's a light into our path. A lamp and a light to our path. It keeps us out of trouble. We ought to memorize it. We ought to know it. We ought to know how many books are in the Bible. We ought to know how many books are in the Old Testament. We ought to know how many books are in the New Testament. We ought to be able to turn to them. We ought to be able to find them. We ought to know this book. We ought to be faithful to this book. We ought to spend time in this book every single day, reading it, meditating on it. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Don't tell me you're being faithful when it comes to God's word if you don't crack the covers every day. Don't tell me that. Can't buy it. No. If you're going to be faithful to this book, you need to spend time in it every single day. We need to be faithful as stewards of His church. This is not our church. This is church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is its head. We take our direction from Him. Church, the organization that God set up as a church, is different from any other organization in the world. We ought to have things in this place that we don't have any place else. We ought to come every time the doors open. You say, preacher, that's an old-fashioned thought. Sorry, I'm a little old-fashioned. I believe you ought to be here for Sunday school. I believe you ought to be here for the morning service. I believe you ought to be here Sunday night. I believe you ought to be here Wednesday night. I think we ought to come expecting to get something from God every time we come into this place. We ought never to come just to come. We have to come expecting that God is going to give us something every time we come. We ought to come to this place in times of rejoicing so that our Christian brothers and sisters can rejoice with us. We ought to come to this place when we have burdens so that our Christian brothers and sisters can bear those burdens with us. Our closest friends ought to be here. Those people we trust the most in the world ought to be here. Those people that we run to for help when we have a need ought to be here. There ought to be times that we cry together. There ought to be times when we laugh together. There ought to be times when we just rejoice together about how good a God we got. We need to be faithful to His church. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And then we need to be faithful to His gospel. It's the good news of the Bible. It's how we get right with God. It's how we get our sins forgiven. And in that gospel, God has done everything. Everything. There's not a thing that we need to add to it. All we need to do is receive it. All we need to do is accept it. All we need to do is take the gift that He offers to every single person. We do nothing. We don't hang on. We don't have to take communion like we did tonight. We don't have to pay on an installment plan. The only thing that we have to do is to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you don't need to become a Baptist. You don't need to become a member of this church. You don't need to get baptized. You don't need to take communion. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to tell Him that you're a sinner and that you believe when He died on Calvary, He paid for every one of your sins, and ask Him tonight to save you, and He'll do it. He'll do it. We need to be faithful. 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 You know, and when we think about that, sometimes we think about the spectacular. We think about the extraordinary. We think about how we would have acted at the burning bush. That's not what God's talking about. what God's talking about. Moses, I don't want you to be faithful at the burning bush. I want you to be faithful the 40 years that you're leading the Israelites through the wilderness. Day after day, week after week. The encounter at the burning bush only lasted an hour or so, if that long. I want you to be faithful when you're out in the wilderness leading those stubborn people to the promised land. Joseph, I don't want you to be faithful just when you're second in command in Egypt and have all the power. I want you to be faithful in the pit that your brothers threw you in. I want you to be faithful when Potiphar threw you in prison. I want you to be faithful when the butler forgot about you and didn't talk to Pharaoh. Day after day, week after week, month after month. I want you to be faithful in that everyday detail of life. That's what it's required in stewards. And I'll tell you tonight, by the way, I'm still in my introduction. Pretty good preaching for an introduction, isn't it? Amen, glory to God. Wait till I get to my message. I hope it's better. Anyhow, he wants to be faithful in the everyday details of life. And I'll tell you tonight, if God wants us to be faithful, Satan wants us to be just the opposite. If God wants us to be faithful, Satan wants us to be unfaithful. If God wants us to keep going, Satan wants us to quit. If God wants us to be an encourager, Satan wants us to be a discourager. Everything God is for, Satan is against. And when God says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, Satan is going to do everything he can to us as Christians to get us to quit, to get us not to be faithful. Now I'm to my message. Tonight I want to mention three things that you and I are going to have to overcome if we're going to be a faithful steward. These three things come upon all people, and we have to overcome them. We have to fight against them if we're going to continue to be faithful in using the things that God has entrusted to us as he's gone back to heaven for a while. Just three simple things. First one is feeling. If we're going to be faithful, we're going to have to do it sometimes in spite of how we feel. Do you know, as a Christian, there'll be some days you won't feel like reading your Bible? I mean, there'll be some days you pick up that book and you'll just say, I'm really not interested today. Or you've decided that you read your Bible late at night, or before you go to bed, and you get over there to Numbers, where each of the tribes are being numbered, or that chapter in Numbers where they talk about the sacrifices that each of the tribe offers. You know, each tribe has a day to offer, and they bring the same thing. And 12 different times it covers the pitcher and the bowl and the meal and the animals that were brought to sanctify the temple. Or you get over there late at night when you get into the begots. This guy begot this guy, and this guy begot this guy, and this guy begot that guy. And if you're not careful, your feelings will take over, and you'll say, I'm just not going to read my Bible tonight, or I'm just going to skip this part of the Bible. Sometimes, in order to be faithful, we have to be faithful in spite of how we feel. Believe it or not, you're going to get up some Sundays, and you're going to be tired because you stayed up on Saturday night. Your husband is going to be grumpy. Your kids are going to be wild. You spilt the coffee, burned the grits, and you won't feel like going to church. Now, if you don't know what grits are, ask Frida, she'll tell you. You can't you? Okay, good. Did you ever notice how things sometimes go wrong on Sunday morning like they don't any other day of the week? I mean, they just go wrong. I mean, you know, that little angel you have for a child turns into an imp. And things are going to go wrong. And there'll be some Sundays where you just will not feel like coming to church. Well, if we're going to be faithful stewards, we have to do it in spite of our feelings. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion. He was in prayer. He was sweating great drops of blood. He prays in Luke, it's recorded one place in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There were some things that Jesus was not looking forward to that as he went to the cross. Now, he was looking through the cross at what he was going to accomplish on the cross. We read that, I think, in the book of Hebrews. But there were some things about the cross that he wasn't looking forward to. As a man, he was not looking forward to the pain and the shame that he would suffer there. As God, he was not looking forward to all of mankind's sins being laid upon him and being separated from God the Father and having God the Father turn his back on him for the first time in all eternity. There were some things that just didn't feel good to Jesus about going to the cross. But again, he looked through the cross to the joy that was on the other side of it, to the gift of salvation that he was going to be able to offer to every single person as a result of going to the cross. And even though he might not have felt like going at that moment, he was faithful. He was faithful, and he went. And there are going to be times in our Bible reading, in our church attendance, in our sharing of the gospel that we just won't feel like it. I was talking to a guy Tuesday. I was down at my mom's. I had to go to the hardware store for something. And we were standing there looking for, I was in the plumbing section. I was trying to get something to fix a plumbing problem. And he asked me a question about something. I said, I have no idea. I'm the last person you want to ask about a do-it-yourself project. I mean, I just barely get by. And I noticed that he had a cross on his shirt. And I said, oh, do you believe in Jesus? I said, you got a cross on your shirt. He said, no, I bought this shirt at a garage sale. I said, oh. I said, well, do you go to church anywhere? He said, no, I don't believe in that stuff. I said, you don't believe in God? He said, well, I don't know if I believe in God or not, but I don't believe all those things that Christians believe in. I said, well, hey, this is your lucky day. You ran into somebody that would like to tell you what he believes about that cross and about all that Christianity stuff that you don't believe in. He said, well, I don't have time. And I don't want to hear it. I said, well, you know, it may make the difference of where you spend eternity. It may make the difference between heaven and hell. And he just gave me a dirty look and walked off. Now, if you would have asked me, preacher, did you feel like talking to that guy after that? I might have said, no, I don't. Let him go to hell. Here's what I did. I said, no, I didn't say that. Don't laugh. I had one of our tracts in my pocket, and I said, sir, I'm sorry that we can't talk, and I didn't mean to offend you, but would you please read this? When you're at home all by yourself, just read it. It's an important truth that every single person needs to know. And I said it with a quiver in my voice like that. He said, okay, I'll read it. I'll read it. If we're going to be faithful, sometimes we have to do it in spite of our feelings. Number two, and I hurry. If we're going to be faithful, sometimes we have to do it in spite of criticism. Criticism. You know, the only people that can hurt you with their criticism is the people that you want to love you. If a stranger criticizes you, it doesn't matter much. If people you love criticize, it matters, but it doesn't matter much because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love suffereth long and is not easily provoked. And so if we really love somebody, even their criticism won't hurt very much. But the people that will really hurt us are the people that we want to love us. And when they say something unkind, if we're not careful, it'll cause us to stop. It'll cause us to be unfaithful. If you're a Christian and you stand for what you believe, you might as well get used to the fact that people are going to criticize you. You're different from them. We're different from them. We're a peculiar people. And there are things that people are going to say that if we're not careful, we'll just say, well, I think I'll just step back. I think I'll just lay off for a while. I'll go back and ask you to just think about the story of Joseph for a moment. God had picked this young man, and he was preparing him to do something great. But in order to get where God needed him to be, he had to undergo a lot of criticism. His brothers criticized him, said, "Oh, you dreamer, you think we're going to bow down to you? You think there's ever going to come a day where we will bow down to you? Never." They took him, threw him in a pit, and then drew him out of that pit and sold him to some traders that took him to Egypt. He got hooked up with this man called Potiphar and ran Potiphar's house for him so successfully that Potiphar didn't even know what he had except the bread on his table. And then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and was thrown in jail. He succeeded in jail, was a success in jail, because the jailer made him, put him in charge of everything. And when the butler and the baker of the Pharaoh was cast into prison, Joseph, their care was entrusted to Joseph. They had a dream. Both of them had a dream, and Joseph told them the dream. The baker was going to be hung, and the birds was going to eat his head, but the butler was going to be restored to his position in front of Pharaoh. And Joseph said, when you are restored into your position, would you mention me to Pharaoh? I'm here unjustly. I don't deserve to be here. And 2 years went by, and nothing was said. It would have been easy for Joseph to say, "Man, this is for the birds. Why should I continue to trust God? Why should I continue to do what God wants me to do? It hasn't resulted in anything good." If there was ever a person that was justified in feeling discouraged and justified in quitting, it was Joseph. But he stayed faithful. He stayed faithful in the pit. He stayed faithful on that trip back to Egypt. He stayed faithful in Potiphar's house. He stayed faithful in the prison. And so when he stood before Pharaoh, God had prepared him to be the second in command and not only save the Egyptians, but save his people. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And then number three, if we're going to be faithful, we not only have to overcome feelings and overcome criticism, but we have to overcome the things that God lets happen in our lives that we don't understand and we can't explain. If we're going to be faithful, we have to know what it is to trust God. We have to know what it is and understand that He is in charge and that He knows what's best for us. And when He allows something to happen in our life that doesn't make sense to us, we just need to keep on keeping on, keep on going on, and be faithful. I've known people, and you have too, that God has taken away something that was very valuable to them, something that they loved. And as a result of that, they got mad at God. They couldn't understand why God would let that happen to somebody that was trying to serve Him. They couldn't understand why God would allow that to come into their lives. And they quit. They dropped out. But I've known others, and you have too, when God has allowed things to happen in their life that they couldn't understand, they kept trusting God, and they kept going on and on and on and on. I remember a New Year's Eve service when Debbie and I were in Indiana. We had a guy that did all the work on our buses. And I can remember him standing up at this New Year's Eve service. And he says, and it was a testimony time. And he says, "You all know that this has been a rough year for me. God took my oldest daughter to heaven. I lost my job. As a result of that, we lost our home." He says, "I just want to stand up tonight and I want to praise God. I want to say God is still in charge and God knows what He's doing. And even though I don't understand sometimes what He does, I want to say tonight that I love Him. I love Him. I love Him." Some of you tonight may have lost something precious, and you may be a little miffed at God. Don't let Satan use that to get you to quit. You just keep on keeping on. There's a couple verses in Ezekiel chapter 24 that I read over and over and over again, but I really didn't appreciate them till this year. It's where God came to Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, I'm going to take that one that you prize the most, but I want you to keep on. Keep on. And you read the next verse, it says that in the evening, this is Ezekiel talking, he said, in the evening, my wife died. And in the morning, I did what God told me to do. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful. He's left some wonderful things in our care. And we can make a list. I mentioned six tonight. We can make a list of 600 and still not exhaust what God has left in our charge. Let's be faithful. Let's desire when we get to heaven and the Savior stands to meet us there, let's desire to hear Him say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. Thank you, Father, that it tells us how much you love us. And I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that tonight they would understand that their sin separates them from you. And there's nothing they can do to pay for that sin. But Jesus has already paid for it. And if they'd come and ask Him, He'd save them. And so if there's just one person here that's never done that, I pray tonight would be the night that they do it. Most of us are Christians here tonight. We're stewards. We are in possession of the property that you own, that you've left us while you're in heaven for a while. Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to keep going. Help us to never quit. In spite of our feelings, in spite of criticism, in spite of things that happen that we don't understand, help us to keep on keeping on. I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. If we need to do something, help us to do it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.